Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this family and the joy that we get to experience overwhelming love through each other from you. I'm just so grateful to be a part of this family and part of your family, and that you taught us how to take care of each other. And please guide us today and help this time be fruitful and whatever you want it to be for us. Thank you, God. Amen.
Wow, that song. I feel like we should just close in prayer. Because we've been talking about our kind of the way we do things here, why we approach the way we do. And we saw that first week, we talked about that everyone belongs. You know, we belong because the cross welcomes everyone. And it says come. And then we talked last week about believing that when we make connections, we begin to have those friendships and our faith starts to grow. It starts to multiply even. And today we're going to talk about the last thing, become. I follow Jesus. I follow the Jesus way. How we become like Jesus. How we press on toward maturity in Christ. What does that take? You know, I sitting here this morning, I'm thankful for the fall back 1 hour because I was able to watch and through the ninth inning. And then when it got tied, Robin was like, when it tied up at the top of the ninth, she said, I can't do this anymore. I gotta go to bed. And I was like, oh, tied at the bottom of the ninth, extra innings. And I was like, oh, I posted on Facebook. Some of you guys might have seen it. It's like, well, what time it is? And I was like, is there any chance we'll get a snowstorm and church be canceled tomorrow? I was like, what is it good when the pastor's praying the church gets canceled tomorrow? And then I was remembering the 18-inning game, and I'm going, I can't do that and be cognizant the next morning. But I was excited because, is anybody taping it? You don't know the result? You taped. That's an old word. Anybody record it? We used to, back in the day, we had this actual stuff that was like tape. And it recorded things on it. It was so cool. And but nobody's recording it. So the Dodgers won, which was my choice. Because my oldest son, Joshua, his doppelganger, Freddie Freeman, plays for the Dodgers. And I was excited about that. But I was also bummed about it because for Christmas, a lot of times it's been my tradition that I get the World Series hat of the world champion. And I already have last year's, so I don't get a new hat. That's a bummer. So anyway, I had to go to bed. It was ninth inning. I was like, I can't do it. I got to go to bed. So first thing, when I woke up this morning, I'm thinking of sleeping in. And my dog has not been feeling well. And so Doggy said at 5:08, she started walking around the room and making her noises and stuff. And I thought, uh-oh, I better get up and get her out quick. So I'm going on a few hours, you know, I'm going on 5 hours of sleep, so that's not bad, that's not bad. But if it doesn't make sense this morning, I'd like to blame it on that. Now, those of you who come here regularly know it has nothing to do with that, okay? But to start off, it says in Philippians 4:13, starting in 13 through verse 14, it says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. He's talking about perfection in Christ. I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. I don't know about you, but I have a tough time forgetting the past. Letting those mistakes go, the tough things that happen. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me. So that's pressing on to maturity. And so if you look at this is kind of our discipleship path. We have the cross, belong, you're welcome, no matter where you are in the journey. I know when you're new to coming to church, you can feel totally lost. It's because all these people are standing up when they're supposed to stand up. Some of them are sitting down randomly, and you're going, is that okay? Can I do that? Where's the little paper that tells me when to stand, when to sit, when to... Everything about it, you're like, what happens? Even before you come, you're like, what should I wear? I don't know. There's this stress in the whole thing. And so I say, no matter where you are in your faith journey, if you're here this morning and you're just brand new to this and you're like, okay, I'm kind of interested in spiritual things. Awesome. Awesome. You're welcome. So that's why that cross is there in our logo, that first thing that says, y'all come. Y'all come. The second thing is a bridge, that bridge of when our faith starts to develop. When we start saying, you know, this Jesus thing, the actual Jesus thing, the song we just sang, Jesus thing, that song we just sang is the Jesus thing. That's Jesus, okay? No matter what you're hearing today and what you're saying today, that is the Jesus thing. That is the Jesus way. And we begin to believe through as we seek some friendships and get connected. And we start to grow. And then the third thing is that little plant, that little sprout. It's just starting to poke up through the ground. It was so cute, that little transition video, the seed working hard to push up through. And it's okay that sometimes in our faith, we're that little seed. Things are just germinating. We have so many doubts and so many questions, and we just start pushing up and pushing up, and then we push, feel like we push through the ground, and then we keep growing. And that's the part where we start becoming like Jesus. So this morning, I want to start with this, maturity in Jesus. This slide here, consider this. Real maturity isn't about age or responsibilities. Real maturity in Jesus isn't about age or responsibilities. It's about becoming like Jesus in character, in action, in influence. That's what maturity is like. Do you know it's possible for someone to go to church their entire lives and never be mature in Christ? Because it's a good message. It makes us feel good. And we sit, but we never apply anything. And we don't follow the Jesus way, we stay as that little tiny seed that never pushes through. So the first thing we look at is we become more like Jesus in character. Now, David is coming up to read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. If you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, take one. Be careful it's not the one in French or Portuguese. Or all that. I'm looking around to find one. Here's one. Just take one. This one's kind of tattered. We should do something about that. It's time to get some new Bibles. but I'm glad to see it tattered rather than not used. But you look at this book and you take it. It's for you. And I don't see David here this morning. Is David coming? No, he was going to read. So Tom's coming up to read, our other radio voice. He's going to come up to read. But if you're new, you're looking for a Bible, take this. Understand that this is a library. It's not a novel. It's got books in here that are books of poetry. It's got books of history, books of genealogy. It's got books of song. It's got books of biography, okay? So if you just start at the beginning, you're going to go, oh, cool story in Genesis. And then you're going to go Exodus. Whoa! That's wild. And then you're going to go Leviticus and go. And then if you make it through Leviticus and you get all the way to Numbers, oh, forget it. Anytime I do that thing where I try to read the Bible in a year, Numbers kills me. I just get to Numbers and I'm like, I'm trying to really read this. I'm really, okay. So take it and it's yours. All right. Tom is going to read from Ephesians.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets.
Which is going to be different. Let me explain it. There are different translations, but they're all God's word. Here, you want to read? That's a New Living. So I like to use in our foyer atmosphere the New Living Translation because of the way it flows. That's not the one I use to study. A lot of times I'll use multiples, okay, that I'll look. But I love this one for its readability. All right, take two.
Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
All right, so that first part, I look, you see which parts of it are bold that I made. And when you look, I love this, that their responsibility, because I have this job where I'm lead pastor, you know, and when you look for your job description and what that should be, it's right here. My job is to get you to do all the work. That's perfect. I love that job. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. That's why our church has so many people involved doing the stuff. It's like Chelsea's up here just getting weepy about the food pantry and the response with it being just full to the rafters for the people who come after church. And that team of volunteers that works in the food pantry. People will say to me, hey, who's in the food pantry today? And I'll go, well, that's not my area, I don't know. I'm here to just help the people do the work and then forget about them. No, I don't forget about them, okay? It's the same thing when people ask me, you know, do we have a couch in the furniture ministry? I haven't been in that room in months. I don't know, maybe, but here's Dana's number. See, equipping the saints for ministry, when Steve's team, the Open Door Kitchen team, with Kathy and Biff and all of you who serve, if you're new here and you're going, what's the deal? I've never been to a church where they start off asking for turkeys. Right? Well, it's a new experience. Cool. Awesome. They ask for turkeys because we'll have a Thanksgiving dinner where we'll do a free meal for normally 200 to 300 people. And that runs without me. I'll be in Georgia that night, right? And so that's why I have that bold. And then down, until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we'll be mature in the Lord. And then this next part, man, it jumps out at me. It jumps out at me while I was preparing this. We'll no longer be like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every new teaching. Every new teaching that's out there. And we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. You look and say, well, that really sounds good. I say, well, good, but is it the Jesus way? And if it's not the Jesus way, it's not going to be my way. Sorry. And the Jesus way is harder, okay? It's harder. But there's a lot more peace, there's strength with it, and that's why I choose it. And then if you look on to Galatians 5, 22 through 23, you guys, when the Bible talks about us, it kind of talks about us like we are trees, Okay? We are trees, and like an apple tree, apple trees don't have to work really hard and focus and concentrate to grow apples. It's not like they're starting in the spring going, darn, orange. Right? They're not doing that. They grow apple trees because they grow apples because they're apple trees, right? And so when we look at this pressing on to maturity, when we become more mature in like Christ, become more like Christ, we start showing these things that are the fruit of Him, His Spirit being active in our lives. Look at this in Galatians 5:22-25. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sit with that for a sec. That's the fruit that comes naturally as we start walking with Christ. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I'm getting my news feed or I'm going through stuff, I have trouble with this because I'm suddenly angry. I'm suddenly not kind. I'm suddenly looking, and I'm not choosing the Jesus way. That word choose is so important in this equation. All right? So since we're living by the Spirit, when it says down here at the bottom, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Scott, come on. You're not talking about like there's Jesus and I'm okay with that, but then there's politics. So those are different. Those are separate. There's Jesus' way, but then there's work. Come on, Scott. Don't be telling me that I'm supposed to take the Jesus way to work with me, that the Jesus way is supposed to infiltrate every part of my life. Now, if you're getting mad with me, I don't want you to get mad at me. I want you to redirect and get mad at God. Okay? That's tougher to be mad with Him. I love to use that. People will be like, you say this about Jesus. What? I can't believe that. I hate you for saying that. And I say, no, who's mad at me? I'm just repeating. You take it up with Jesus, okay? Be mad at Him. Be mad at Him because He's the one who said it. Follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It saturates us. The second thing is that as we become more mature in Christ, as we press on and as we choose to become more like Jesus, it shows in our actions. It shows in our actions. I love this passage in James that basically says, do what the Bible says. All right? It says this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. You forget what you look like. Now think about that for a minute. How many of you look in the mirror in the morning? I understand, Biff. Yeah. We all look into it. And so we take this. This is an old-fashioned mirror, so I'll probably pull my back out. We look in this mirror. Hey, look, it's one of those beaming things. Now you can't see. You can't even see yourself in the mirror. But when you look in the mirror and you see your image, you normally make some corrections. I do. I mean, I look in the mirror and I see, you know, all those commercials about people with eczema. You know, eczema, they're scared to go out, eczema, eczema, eczema. And some of us have that. When you look at me and I got red patches here and red patch here and red patch there, my eczema decides it likes my head. I would rather have it on my elbows, but it's on my head. And so I go in and I look at the mirror and I go, oh my gosh, I look like Gorbachev. I look like Gorbachev. I got a map on the side of my head, and I'm like, what? And so I'm like, okay, and I'm taking out the special cream that the dermatologist, and I'm making corrections. Well, the Bible says, don't just listen every week, sit and do what it says. Do what it says, because if you listen to the word and don't apply it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like because you don't make any of those adjustments. And it goes on. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, meaning God's word, that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God blesses you for doing it. And then it goes on. A little warning here. This might be a trigger. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Ow! Pure, get this. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Darn it, there's that heart of God thing again. That heart of God that is for the least of these. There's an African proverb that says, when elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. You know what that means? When the powerful fight, it is always the weakest that suffer. Guys, that's what we're seeing right now. That's what we're seeing right now. And I praise God that people are responding in the Jesus way and saying, I will not let my neighbor go hungry. I will not. The Jesus way. So when we flip over to James 4:17, it also throws in this. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Ouch. See, I feel like in Scripture, if I focus on doing the do's, I won't have time to do the don'ts. Say that again. If I focus on doing the do's, I won't have time to do the don'ts. Because I'm seeking to become more like Christ. Look at Matthew 5:14-16. As I press on to become more like Jesus in action, you are the light of the world. You guys have heard this before. Like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. That doesn't mean we do them so that everybody sees them. That doesn't mean every time we give something, we announce it on Facebook. It doesn't mean that when we give a meal to somebody who's unhoused, unsheltered, that we make sure to have it for our Instagram feed. It doesn't mean that. But it means that we're walking with Christ, we're mature. And you know what I find, guys? It's been since I was 17 years old. That's a better life. I just love life. And we've been through some tough stuff with that whole transplant stuff where we didn't know if I was going to live or die. We've been through some tough stuff. But I can say I never have regretted that I'm following after Christ. I want to be covered like they used to say and in Israel. I want to be covered with the dust of my rabbi. That was an expression they used, your teacher, your rabbi. That you'd say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. That meant that you walked so closely with your rabbi, your teacher, that you were covered from the dust in his feet, coming off his feet. That's what I want. So we're the light of the world. And the third thing, we become Christ's ambassador. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. I love the song. Man, I can't believe if God loved the world, why does he let it be this way? Why doesn't he do something? I love that song that says, God responds, I did. I created you. See, he makes his appeal through us. He shows that this life, because I'm walking with Christ, that people see why. I've had people ask me, why? You are always smiling. What is your deal? I say, no, I'm not always smiling. Ask my family. But when I'm with people, I'm an extrovert. That's my jam. Being with people, I'm smiling. I'm happy. I'm like, yeah, look at all these people. I always go through the trick-or-treat thing, and I'm so torn. This is a trauma for me, you guys, because I want to go trick-or-treating with my grandkids, but I want to sit there at my fire pit and welcome all the people coming to the house. I'm like, I love people there. I love people here. See, I just look and I say, my life in following Christ, I've never had a time where I've said, dang, I'm missing all the fun. I have a bunch of fun. I tend to have too much fun. And, I'm that person in church that when somebody says something a little off kilter, that I look at somebody else and we start cracking up. You ever do that in church or wherever you are? You catch a friend's eye and you start laughing so much and you're both like trying not to laugh and you're like, and you're about to explode. It happens to me all the time, all the time. So we become Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. They see how we walk, how we handle life, what we do. They see that approach. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full, that they might have abundant life. The actual phrasing is like overflowing, too much life. It's like you're a 16-ounce bottle and God is pouring 20 ounces in. Why is he doing that? So we splash on others. See, that's what that says. He's making his appeal through us. We're actually splashing on others. I should have brought some water in. That would have been fun. So 2 Corinthians 5:20 is clear, and then Colossians 3:17. Whatever you say, whatever you do or say, oh, wait, no. Scott, there's the Jesus thing over there, and that's fine for church. But then we're talking real life. Don't bother my real life. Here it is again. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do. So I think I every now and then I need to do a spiritual self-check. I need to just kind of do this little evaluation of Scott, how are you doing? So I put it together to put up here. And these are steps that I take. Number one, I check my roots. Understand what I'm saying? I check my roots, meaning what am I getting rooted into? What am I growing in? Am I growing in conversation with God? Am I growing in my interaction with what Scripture teaches? Whether that, I'm not talking you need to read your Bible 12, you know, an hour a day, and you need, that's good. But sometimes interacting it is reading this book or that about what Scripture teaches. So I have to check my roots. The roots of my connection. Am I isolated? Because when I'm connected with others, I'm growing. I'm growing. The second thing, it's like, Scott, check your fruit. What's your fruit right now? I think I was talking to Chelsea last week about just some of the things, looking at things that are going on. I'm like, my fruit right now is anger. My fruit right now is frustration. My fruit right now is this. My fruit, here's what I'm feeling. Because the elephants are fighting. And they're waging war against each other. All the powerful people, and the grass is getting trampled. And I don't like that. So I have to check my fruit and go, God, help me to respond knowing that my faith is in you. It's not in world systems. The third thing, I need to check my actions. Am I living out this Jesus thing? Are my actions lately showing that I'm rooted in Christ? The fourth thing, then I need to check my influence. You know that each of you is an influencer? Sure, some of you only have 2 followers. That's okay. You're an influencer. You have influence in your neighborhood. You have influence at work. You have influence in how I and how you live and walk through our lives. It's sending out a signal. It's sending out a signal. And somebody says, why do you do that? Why do you say that? That's an opportunity to be like, well, what I say a lot of times, well, I'm a person of faith. I have a pretty deep faith. And if they ask, faith in what? Then I go further. Paul said, always be ready to share an answer for the hope that is within you. But when you do it with gentleness and respect. That means we live our lives in such a way that people sometimes ask. That's very different than shoving it down somebody's throat. Very different. Nobody likes that. So we check our influence and say, how am I doing? So here's the thing, the wrap up. Spiritual maturity isn't automatic. It's a daily choice to press on until who you are looks more and more like Jesus. See that? I choose the Jesus way, the song sang. I choose the Jesus way. Today I don't want to choose the Jesus way. Today I want to get revenge. Today I want to stand up and defend myself. Today I want to go right in their face and prove them how wrong they are. Today I want to give this person on the phone who's making her, you know, $17 an hour, I want to give her my earful. Instead we say, all right, I'm going to choose the Jesus way. So it's like, what am I becoming? And as the music team comes on up, we're going to ask, what have I become? What am I? Where are my roots? When I look at my fruit, what does it look like? What does it look like? We have this table here behind me. And it's, for those of you who are brand new here, you're like, oh no, I picked the wrong Sunday. No, you don't have to come get this. You don't have to do communion. And I'm not going to be like, you know, Ominous Dominos or whatever and stick it on your tongue. And I don't know, we're not. This is here for those who want to remember what Jesus did. What the Bible says he did. And so if you're brand new, you're like, I don't know what he did or what he says he did. Cool. Remember that little seed? Just keep pushing. Just keep pushing out and growing. Those answers will come. But the way we do communion here is, well, we'll pray. We'll thank God for what Jesus did. Because the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. That basically when God looked at us, because we choose and we continue to choose to go our own way against what he wants, against what he says is best for us, we continue to choose it daily. He said there's a way that you don't have to keep sacrificing goats every week. You don't have to keep sacrificing sheep every week. You don't have to keep doing this because there's one sacrifice that pays for all sin. And then when we say, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, I'm going to walk the Jesus way. Jesus, be Lord of my life, forgive me, and make me new. What happens is the Holy Spirit moves in. I have booklets that I would love to give any of you today. And you're like, oh, geez, that's that cheesy stuff. Nope, these aren't cheesy. It's a book called My Heart, Christ's Home, about how the Holy Spirit moves into our life gradually, bit by bit. A bit as we open things to him. So when Jesus paid that price, He said, you are clean, spotless, without blemish. And I always look at it as God sees you as you are, and then you say, no, I'm gonna plead Jesus. Jesus is going to pay my penalty. God puts on his sunglasses, S-O-N, and he sees you through the blood of Jesus and says, you're righteous. Enter in. So when we pray and you want to, come on up as you want to. Grab a piece of bread that represents the body, and grab a cup which represents the blood of Jesus. Symbols that we remember him by. You see John 16:33. I put that up there because we're in trying times. But this is what Jesus said. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Chelsea and I talking to each other. Don't give up. She keeps saying to me, don't give up. I keep saying to her, don't give up. We're like, okay. We're going to choose the Jesus way, all right? But take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus beat the world. He beat that whole system when he raised from the dead. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for that the Bible tells us that it was the joy of reclaiming your creation, the joy set before you that you endured pain of the cross. We thank you for your broken body represented by the bread. We thank you for the blood that said was poured out for the remission of sin, the payment of sin. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you did on the cross to make us new. Might we choose the Jesus way. In Jesus' name, amen.